the first half, I'm not going to lie.
Talk to me, Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back to Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, Win Column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Josh McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues, episode 560. Getting older, getting stronger every day. It's May 8th, coming at you a day early. This one for all you Zach Bryan fans out there. Good luck. Have fun. I don't know why I said good luck, but I guess good luck too.
Should be fun. You're not going, are you?
No, and I should have just bought tickets. So I like suckered myself into going because I'll regret it. But no, not going to this one.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll be there, and I guess I won't be there at all. I was going to say I'll be there in spirit, but that's just not true. But I do hope everybody has fun. Looks like he puts on a great show. I'm excited. I hope he brings out someone for Revival that's like a Knoxville guy. That would be cool. Or girl.
You think Kenny Chesney will be up there twerking like Sexy Red?
I won't like Zach Bryan anymore. But, I mean, he Kenny would love that.
Yeah.
Kenny would eat that up. I'd riot then. I hope the people in the stand, in the arena would riot at that point.
It might be Tony Vitello. No, he'll be in.
He'll be gone, won't he?
Yeah.
Let's get a private jet ready. It should be Tony Vitello.
It's going to be Nico.
I'm in. Sign me up. But yeah, that'll be a fun one. So we're coming at you a day early. Obviously, we're going to talk some baseball. Tony Vitello, the fighting Tony Vitello, has traveled to Nashville this weekend, taking on, depending on what poll you look at, non-ranked Vanderbilt.
Nice.
I love that. That just makes me smile. One quick comment on Vanderbilt. And this is a compliment. It's obviously a very good school. This is a compliment to their school, but it's also a detriment to their fan base. They are by far the biggest gap between the students and or alumni that attended Vanderbilt and their fans in terms of just stupidity. Their fans, first off, if you're a Vanderbilt fan without going to the school there, you're just dumb. Anyways, like that, your baseline's dumb. These people, I don't know. I'm shocked they know how to breathe, the ones that tweet.
Yeah, are you talking about like the logo accounts?
Yeah, and then like, yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because yeah. I've never actually like met, I have met one Vanderbilt fan, I work with him. But other than that, like I don't know of any fans.
Is he proudly a Vanderbilt fan? Does he know he doesn't work for the same Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Is he aware?
I mean, he gets hell. And rightfully so.
Does he wear apparel?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I have so many questions for that guy or girl.
I mean, he's a hard time at work.
Yeah. As he should.
I don't envy him at all. Yeah.
That's insane. But yeah, we will talk about some baseball. Of course, we're going to talk some football here again. We previewed, I guess previewed is what you'd call it, a little bit last week there. But we're going to talk about some schedule, more schedule, I guess. We talked some schedule last week. So a little bit more. Talking all the sports. I'll just stop there. All the sports. Just sports in general. Balls.
All the more
important issues. Nets, gold, bats. Yeah, all the more important issues. There you go. Wow. Mm-hmm. I think you just you just told the whole story of the podcast. I think we can just sign off there. Like, that's it.
We're done.
That's all, folks.
That's it.
Yeah. It's been a good run. 560. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, even though that might not be true, but it might be close.
I was checking stuff the other day. I think we're way ahead of 560. I think we thought we were behind. I think we're way ahead.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I can't remember. Like, I ran across an episode, you know, like episode like 80 or something, mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, trying to find something. And then when we started numbering our episodes, it was like number like 70 or like 62, for example, something like that. Those aren't the right numbers. I'm just giving you an example. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess like all the crappy episodes we've had, maybe like we've had like a decent 560.
Yeah, but we rounded out 560 for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And then if you got any questions, go ahead and drop them in. Thanks for everybody for tuning in on another off night. No bye weeks, I guess. So we appreciate it. If you got questions, comments, concerns, you can send those to dylan.bloom@yahoo.com. He will get all those concerns.
Yeah.
As our HR rep. But yeah, we appreciate you guys listening in. So drop those questions. Before we get really into the show, I do want to tell us about some of our good friends. It's Grade A Grounds. You guys know them. You guys love them. Now go show them some love. Grade A Grounds is a local coffee roasting company in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned and operated by two educators in the Johnson City area. Being educators, they care deeply about their community. And with that, their main goal as a company is to give back to students in the area. They do that by donating 5% of all of their sales to a nonprofit organization that supports students all over the Tri-Cities called Coalition for Kids. That money will go directly towards keeping a classroom at Coalition for Kids stocked with the necessary supplies for students. Make sure you guys go check them out. Support great coffee, support great people, support great students. Go do that. We appreciate Grade A Grounds. We appreciate you all for appreciating them. Shout out to Grade A Grounds Coffee. When you go check out, promo code GOVALS. Shout out to Grade A Grounds.
Yep. Shout out. And go Vols.
And go always. Go Vols. All right. Let's dive right into this.
Football
wins. There's been a lot of talk on different, whether it be articles, tweets, podcasts, radio shows this week about where this team's going to be. Which we talked about that last week. Kind of ceiling floor deal. So I wanted to kind of round it out with your must wins.
Does the transfer portal not just make it so much more difficult to predict where not only your team's going to be, but other teams especially? I'm like, I don't know what the heck Arkansas has.
Well, they have a 30-year-old, but yeah, I agree. absolutely. I think that's because transfer portal, you kind of have an idea of what your own team's got. That's easy to follow. That's easy to track. But when you bring in other teams, especially ones that aren't, Arkansas is a good example, Oklahoma, an NC State, a team you don't even, not even in your conference. So really not on your radar except for this year. It's really hard to know what teams like that are going to have or not have because of the transfer portal.
Yeah. And Kentucky's the QB portal U. So that's.
Shout out Big Blue, baby. Yeah. So I agree. It's one of those things that you're just, there's a lot of wait and see because there's a lot of guessing. Even if you know who's actually going to be there, which sometimes, I mean, right now, like people could still add in the portal. But yeah, there's still a lot of guessing on production and what those teams will look like as a whole and how those teams will really, it's rare, I guess, but teams could still add pretty important pieces right now, or an important piece, I guess.
Yeah.
An impact player, whatever it may be. The transfer portal just made following recruiting even more exhausting than it already is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole – you just doubled it, basically. You had high school recruiting, which was madness, and you had all the hats and the commitments and the decommitments and You had to follow the visits and all that stuff. And now, like, the transfer portal, it's like, as soon as they enter the transfer portal, they have 35 teams that have reached out.
Yeah.
And so then you're going to find out, like, where they're at on campus. And, well, this guy went to high school with them. And you're trying to, like, I don't know. It's just a bunch of, I don't even know how you would even go about trying to predict where somebody's going unless you're trying to, you're just connecting dots from like, oh, that coach coached him here, or, you know, they were best friends in high school. It's just nuts the way that it all works out.
Yeah. It's not fun. And there's so many recruiting got, it took a few years, but recruiting got exhausting when they added the early signing period. It just felt like more accelerated, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not that it wouldn't already, if you followed it closely, not that it wasn't already kind of getting crazy. And then you add in this, there's a lot of players that I came and went from Tennessee or came and went from other schools. I didn't know they were ever here.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing is like you hear all these stories of, he told Tennessee yes until the day of. And then, you know, you hear about the Arion Carter thing where Alabama is trying to get in the high school for his signing to talk with him one last time, and he locks him out. Like, I mean, that's just insane how things work out in recruiting. And then, you know, with the transfer portal and NIL, it just adds, you know, now these guys aren't like 18 years old. They're like 22, 23 year olds running around with, you know, getting $1 million deals at some places.
Some people aren't even using NIL though. That's the thing.
Yeah. What a recruiting pitch for that guy. I mean, I've never seen a worse recruiting pitch than that.
So, we won't pay you for your services, but we'll get you bottle service. Did you see that Baton Rouge restaurant thing? Where they walked in with the, you know, the firework little display and the sign that was like, welcome to Baton Rouge, and it was playing Calling Baton Rouge. It was a little cheesy. It was very Brian Kelly-esque. Which I know he doesn't have a hand in that stuff, but it just really fits in with his mantra.
Oh, you're talking about Brian Kelly.
Who are you talking about?
The Boise State coach. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear this.
He said that he is no freshman on his team will make any NIL money in their first year.
That's a tough sell.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that is the worst recruiting pitch I've ever heard. I don't know. I mean, if you can literally get anywhere, I would go. If Boise State is your number one team, I'm going anywhere my freshman year, and then I can transfer to Boise State and then make NIL money.
Which I feel like is entirely different than saying, still wouldn't say this publicly, even if I meant, you know, even if it's how I thought. But it's even different from saying, we're not going to recruit you using NIL will not be something we worry about trying to recruit you. That's even different than saying you won't make money your freshman year.
Yeah.
Also, going to go with, based on the NCAA losing that court battle, probably also not legal. I guess you have a choice to go to Boise State, so that would change that. But still, I don't know. It's just dumb. You're just losing ground on teams. What?
Yeah.
I want to talk to those freshmen. I call bull crap, number one. I want to talk to those freshmen.
I do like – I think that would be a – cool thing to implement across the country. I don't know how you do that, but I do think that is would maybe help the transfer portal be such a nut job if, hey, your freshman year or maybe your first 2 years, like you make this minimum and then this maximum. And then you can, you know, make a crap ton of money somewhere else if you want to enter the transfer portal.
I mean, they can't do that with NIL as a thing, but that's moving more towards like the employee contracts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Would be that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Brian Kelly was going to be one of my stupidities. I thought that's what we were talking about, though, him saying that.
I did see that, too.
There, which I didn't listen to the full thing. I guess the context of it again, which if he's saying that, I'm still calling bullcrap. If any Tennessee coach has said that, I've always been like, yeah, well, you might not be using it, but when they go sit down with the boosters, we know what's being said. That's how I've always taken it, but essentially saying we're not, we haven't been able to recruit well the defensive line position because we're not paying for him. I was like,
Yeah. Yeah, we won't pay for him, but we'll definitely kill him.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Brian Kelly.
Football must wins.
Yeah, let's get on to that.
Let's first off get the obvious ones out of the way.
The
Chattanooga, the Kent States, the Vanderbilts, the UTEPs. Let's move those out of the way. Those aren't yes, they're must wins because you really, really can't lose those games, but they're not what we're really discussing today. Obviously, we talked about last week, ceiling, floor being 8-4 really is kind of where we landed. Games you got to win to get to that mark. And then we'll talk about games that you really want to win to have a successful season, however that looks to you in terms of numbers of wins. But those games, because I'll start off here. Games like to have a successful season, feels like you got to win Kentucky. That's a team that you should be better than. That's a team that even when they probably maybe edged, you know, just had the edge on you a little bit at certain positions, important positions, you've still been able to beat. Kentucky comes to you this year.
And it's at home, yeah.
Yeah. Feels like one you – I put that as probably one of mine that if you lose that game, you're in trouble. I know it's late in the season, so a lot takes to get there, but – you probably know you're in trouble by that point. You really can't lose to a team like Kentucky this year. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. It's just the history of it, and you should be better than them.
I mean, if we're going to floor is 8-4, NC State or Kentucky have to be a must win, in my opinion.
I mean, I've got NC State as a must win for a host of reasons, one being that mark. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of starting off your season, then
yeah, you're talking about that's next a week, huge confidence booster weeks. For Nico, because that's basically his real first opponent. No slight to the mocks, but
yeah, I think I've got NC State as a must win. I think when you look at the schedule, are there 8 wins sitting out there without NC State? Sure. But in terms of can you have an even good season without beating NC State, I'm not so sure of. If you lose NC State, sure, you get that week at Kent State, but then you go to Oklahoma, then you go to Arkansas, then you welcome Florida at home. What seems like a relatively just, you know, okay games leading up to Alabama, if you lose NC State, I think then you're going, oh, crap. What's our record going to be when we bring Florida to Neyland? What's our record going to be when we bring Alabama to Neyland?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's – I think that might be the – even though it's not in the SEC, that feels like
– it's like the linchpin game.
It could be like the biggest game on the schedule looking back.
Yeah, not necessarily for – obviously for seeding, for standing, anything like that. It's – the confidence.
It could be the same
remainder.
Yeah, it could be the same way that like that Pitt game was a few years ago.
Absolutely.
Like that you lose that game, you know, you could
things look.
Yeah, you could be in a world of hurt, but you know, you find a way to win that one, and you know, then you just kind of just kept winning. Like you found that way to win, and you just kept doing it until you know you played Georgia, obviously.
and NC State again, this is you. I'm glad you kind of led off with what you did in terms of what new teams have. This NC State's a weird one. They had finished 9-4. like what they're going to look like in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But I think with, we talked about the important parts of, you know, who's going to be the most impactful last week. If this defensive line is as good as advertised, first off, you should be in a lot of ball games, unless your secondary's as good as that.
Yeah. Yeah, NC State's got some playmakers at wide receiver, so I think that's going to be a good matchup. There is a new quarterback with Grayson McCall. But, yeah, like you said, you got to trust that defensive line. You got to let your dogs be dogs. And you would think our defensive line has a huge edge over whatever NC State has at offensive line. I don't know what that looks like, but I would think with Tennessee's firepower and the amount of bodies, quality bodies that they have at that position, I got to think they should wreak havoc. And, you know, given Nico and, you know, that offense short fields to work with, I think that's going to be key in that game, because I don't know exactly what Nico looks like. We saw it against Iowa, but that was Iowa.
Best scoring defense in the country, right? I mean, top five defense overall.
It was.
I'm a hater about how Iowa unraveled in terms of just pump the brakes on Nico, but I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't one of the better defenses you played all year either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the bowl game as a whole, because you saw what Joe Milton did a couple years ago.
Exactly, and that's kind of my basis for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, giving him short fields and, you know, some confidence to work with. I think Chattanooga's a big game for that too. But, you know, when you're going against, like, when the bullets are flying, they're going to be flying against NC State for sure.
NC State's a different animal when it comes to confidence, because I think referring to that Pitt game in 2023 is a great example. Pitt was it was a true road game. It was at as close as Pitt can get to a home stadium.
So just like this one, basically.
Bingo. It's at least NC State has an on-campus field. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll give them that. We'll give the Wolfpack that. But yeah, I think it's a confidence booster. It could be for Nico, obviously, but I think I joked about the linchpin. I don't know if it's a linchpin game, because as I sit here and say NC State's a must win, I don't think it's panic button level yet. Now, it is probably one that if you lose it and then you go on to fail in those next few weeks, then you turn around and you're like, wish we had hit the big red button then. But I don't know if linchpin's really the right way to describe it. I think it's almost good though to have that game, because yes, it doesn't affect you in the SEC. It could be a big college ball playoff marker, but I think it's also good to go play that big game before you play SEC opponents. You're not starting off league play. You're not starting off the most important games with Oklahoma in Norman.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's move on to that game since you brought it up. That's a game where I'm just like, there is Kent State, but we already marked that
as well. No, I got you. I'm with you.
Oklahoma's a big game for me just because of what you've done the past couple of years. You've had a golden opportunity ahead of you the past couple of years, and you've fallen flat on your face on the road. Now, could that be another game? But I feel like if there was a game for that to happen, I think Oklahoma is probably your best candidate for it. I hope it's not Vanderbilt, and I hope it's not Arkansas. So if I'm looking at another game other than that, it's got to be Oklahoma, which is, you know, that's going to be a tough game. I know they have Gunnar Stockton and Jackson Arnold. Sorry. Gunnar Stockton's at Georgia. A five-star sitting at Georgia for some reason. Anyway,
it'll be at Vanderbilt or Kentucky in 2 years. So
Jackson Arnold, who did not have a good bowl game. You know, people have kind of pumped the brakes on him a little bit, but then he comes out in the spring game and lots it up like Gaston Moore, and everybody's back on the hype train.
Yeah. Yeah. Oklahoma is one. I won't tag it as a must win, but when you're talking about a 10 win season, I don't think that could be one of your two losses. I don't think you lose to Oklahoma and then pick up nine more, you know.
Yeah, that's not a must win for me. I'm just saying that's a big game.
Well, if we're going by stages of, you know, in the ceiling to floor, if you're talking 10-2, I don't think you lose to Oklahoma and then go beat either Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah, I agree.
So when we're talking a 10-2 win season, I think it's got to be Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's a good game to kind of prove that you can win on the road too.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially go into my next must win just as a again, kind of floor. And I think this one's kind of in between floor and ceiling, not necessarily off the floor, but I think Arkansas is a big, big game. Again, leading up to quote unquote meat of the schedule there, or I guess in the heart of the meat of the schedule. I don't know if Arkansas, I'd have to go count these. I don't know if Arkansas is a must win to get to 8, but we're not going to call 8-4 a successful season now at this point, even with a redshirt freshman quarterback. But I think Arkansas is somewhere in there. Being on the road in Fayetteville be interesting. We'll be there. So I am going to tag it as a must win.
Yeah, if we lose that game, I think I'm done doing away games until next year.
I like that. That's a big game for you talk about the struggles on the road. I feel like you're playing you get another lesser team. Go win. Like, just go win. I don't really know what else to say about a game like Arkansas other than go win.
Yeah. You need that one. They got a new quarterback from Boise State, I think. I guess he wasn't making any NIL money, so he went to Arkansas. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be – I don't really know what they have. They have Sanders, right, still?
Rocky I don't know. Sanders? I'd have to look at their roster. I don't know.
I think they have Rocky Sanders. I think that's right. Yeah, I'd have to do a deep dive in Arkansas to see exactly what they have. But in terms of a must-win, I think this is a must-win. Yeah,
I mean, they got
– go ahead.
I was just saying, I mean, they got wrecked by the transfer portal this year. Mm-hmm. It looked like Sam Pittman had been fired.
Well, KJ Jefferson is just, like, hanging out in Fayetteville just getting arrested, so.
Never graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, don't know what that's about. But, yeah, I think this is a must win for me just because of, we're going, and it's on the road. And I think depending on what happens at Oklahoma, it's either a really big game because you – are undefeated at this point, hopefully, or that you just dropped the game on the road and that,
you want to
that turn reputation of can't win on the road is still there.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll move on to my premier must win. Mm. I mean, I'll put this one ahead of Kentucky at this point.
Yep.
For a lot of reasons. Florida comes to Neyland. There, I mean, it's slim, I think. There's a chance Billy Napier isn't the head coach when they come to Knoxville in October. That's how bad this Florida team is. They do not have an easy schedule next year. They don't have an easy going in the front end of it. You have to win this game. You should have won it last year. You have to win this game. I'm not saying I'm calling for jobs. I'm just saying if you don't win this game, I will have questions.
Yeah.
And a lot of them. Because – and I'm not trying to like – I like Josh Heupel. I think he's done an exceptional job. But when you look back at the 2023 Florida game, you almost lost to Weird. They just weirded the crap out of you and almost won. And then – you drop one you really, really shouldn't have when you really look at the body of work in 2022 was the weird one you almost lost. 2023 was the one when you look at the full body of work, look at that game, you really should have won that game. A lot of just unacceptable things happened.
Yeah.
You lose this game, questions for everybody. Real quick, Florida's schedule leading up to Tennessee, Miami, Samford, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, UCF. I see two, maybe three wins coming into Tennessee.
I read a it's funny that you say that. I read an article a couple hours ago about Florida, and it was a Florida side, so I get the homer thing about it, but it was like a percentage of wins for each game.
Oh, gosh.
They marked Tennessee as the first loss.
Yeah. If they go 5-0 and lose to Tennessee, then I'm giving Josh Heupel a lifetime contract, because apparently they've done some witchcraft down there. Tim Tebow's doing something. He's crying. I don't know. But if they're undefeated coming into Tennessee and we win that game, then lifetime contract, no questions asked. Yeah. That's crazy. Like,
they gave Florida a 29% chance to beat Tennessee. I think they gave Florida a 55% to beat Miami. And then A&M was like,
okay, so they're not just like
52.
At least they're not just throwing. Okay, it's not.
No. Okay. It was actually projection. But still, like, Texas A&M, you ain't beating Texas A&M.
Doubtful, I agree. Very doubtful. Yeah. I really doubt they beat Miami. I'm interested to see what Mississippi State looks like.
Just,
it's a nice polite way of putting that.
That's your defensive line game. That has to be, hey, guys, every year Florida's quarterback puts up a Heisman performance against you. Can we please prevent that happening with Graham freaking Mertz as their quarterback? I mean, my God.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest thing of last year's game.
Oh, dude. I mean, we're all in. Graham Mertz, you kidding me? Did you see him play at Wisconsin? Yeah, torched us. Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Sometimes you just have to laugh at how bad we've been humiliated.
Yeah, honestly. Like, honestly. Yeah. Mm.
And then Kentucky. Brock Vandegrift. We heard nothing but great things about Brock Vandegrift. And then he sat at Georgia forever. And then Carson Beck, who was never going to see the field, ends up being their starting quarterback and, you know, one of the best quarterbacks they've had in years.
Yeah.
So
I don't have any faith in any quarterback that puts on a Kentucky blue jersey.
That's true. And it's in Neyland, baby.
It's in Neyland. All right, next must win, Alabama. I'm just sorry. I couldn't even get all the way through that one. Actually, for my mental health, I will tag that as a must win. So, Josh Heupel, if you really do deeply care about me, which I know you do, I need you to prove it on October 19th. I really need you to prove it.
If Tennessee beats Alabama, how much fun is Vol Twitter going to be against Alabama fans and saying that their reign is over? Like, we've been thinking that, hoping for
insufferable.
It.
Insufferable.
But if it'll be an insufferable beats Alabama level. On October 19th, it's done.
Oh, you're calling them dead right now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, Alabama fans will never recover. I mean, already are very defensive over Kalen DeBoer, you know, having Roll Tide Willie and, you know, all these DBs going everywhere. I just got a notification that Alabama did get a defensive back from Wake Forest. That doesn't scare me very much, but anyway. I think that's the that's going to be the end of Alabama. They'll probably just be Georgia fans after that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, and credit to the really dumb ones that have been Alabama fans, just not big Alabama fans. They'll stay Alabama fans because in their mind, it'll come back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the really dumb ones like me who just, for whatever reason, keep coming back As soon as
I mean, we might storm the field just knowing that the dynasty's over.
I won't be down there this time. I'll smoke my cigar in peace.
Yeah.
Dance on Nick Saban's little 5-foot grave.
So shallow.
I think Mississippi State's on there though. Yeah. You talk about, you know, getting to that floor.
New coach, who knows who they have on their roster. Yeah. It's not Will Rogers. Will Rogers is not going to be the quarterback for Mississippi State this year.
Yeah. And truly, I think the Oklahoma game, it's going to be a really, really tough one to get. I think NC State presents some interesting challenges. Part of a neutral site is also good that it's not away. I think I'm interested to see what Arkansas looks like. I'm interested to see where that game falls for me. Like how much, I mean, I think it's truly a swing, you know, I think it could go either way right now, mm-hmm. but I'm interested to see when you get closer to that week, what that looks like.
For sure.
Cause I don't know how to feel about it being at Arkansas.
Gosh.
I mean, I don't think this is a knock on Tennessee at all. I think there's plenty of losses sitting there. And I think it's more so that, while this schedule isn't difficult, I think it also has plenty of challenges throughout it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the games that you – I mean, you look – you Georgia is Georgia, whatever. But the games you kind of want at home are at home.
Yes, but I would say because we play in places like Bryant-Denny every other year, it's almost like I'd rather go to Bryant-Denny this year and bring Arkansas or something to Knoxville.
Just make sure that's a win.
Just like give that little extra juice, you know, or I don't want to play in the swamp. I'm not saying the swamp's rowdier than Bryant-Denny, but there is some voodoo going on there that I don't understand.
Yeah.
I'd rather play Kentucky in Lexington and bring Oklahoma to Tennessee.
I blame Tom.
Because do what?
I blame Tom Petty.
Yeah, I guess sucks. He's a heartbreaker. Yeah. But no, I do agree with you though. The ones that you're like, we're only gonna win those in Neyland. I guess really the two, Alabama and Florida. Like, not saying we will win them in Neyland, but the only way we win them is in Neyland right now.
Yeah.
They're in Neyland.
Yeah, well, and Kentucky just like, if that game was going to be a toss-up, the fact that it's in Neyland
doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, JG is not our quarterback.
So. This is the one thing I bring Uroš Plavšić back for. Okay. Let him talk trash to Kentucky fans. A lot of people very much revisionist history when they got into late March or mid March and they wanted Uroš back all of a sudden. When 12 months ago, I mean, they're ready to murder that man. Now they thought this team would be so much better with him. I won't have that revisionist history. I'll just say watching him in 2022 go over to the Kentucky fans holding up the SEC trophy, that felt good.
Yeah. It is fun to, like, watch us beat Kentucky in Lexington and have us stomp that flag right into the turf.
That stadium sucks.
That stadium does suck. All right, Vanderbilt. You just want to laugh at this one and move on.
I guess. If we weren't ranked number one and Vanderbilt wasn't just not good this year, just pitiful, I'd feel a lot better about.
Wait, are you talking about baseball?
Oh, you're talking about football now. Oh, I thought you wanted to say yeah, oh, I wasn't going to talk about moving on. I wasn't going to talk about Vanderbilt football. Okay. God, no.
Well, that's why? What I said. Just laugh it off and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Okay. No. Who cares? Okay. Sorry. My bad. I don't care about that game at all.
Are you on a go?
Sure. It's well, let's see, because it's that Thanksgiving week. But we can plan last minute. I mean, tickets won't be tough to acquire.
Actually, they are. They're harder to acquire there than it is because all Tennessee fans go to it, and they have, like, it seats, like, 40,000, 30,000, whatever it is.
Yeah, but it's Thanksgiving week. I mean, yeah, sometimes you have to wait till like kickoff, but they're not hard to acquire. We don't have to necessarily wait till kickoff, but I don't want to make a decision now. But also maybe wait till week of because we thought about
it. I'm a planning guy. I can't just do it last minute. That's on that. I can't do that.
Well, you need to be more like that. It's way more fun sometimes.
No, it's not.
Also, if we had gone 2 years ago, it would have been miserable. It rained the entire time.
Oh, yeah, but we won.
I would have hated myself watching a game at Third and Fifth Bank Field or whatever they call it now. And just been wet and cold. No.
We did blank them. That's got to make. I would way rather be in that and we blow them out than be there and us lose like we did a couple years ago.
Well, sure. If I had to choose between those two. Okay. But I also really enjoyed watching that from the comfort of my couch, dry and warm, watching us do that.
All right. We're in. We're going.
I'm not in.
Okay. Well,
I'm 50-50. I'll just tell you the week of. You can plan it, and I'll tell you the week of. We don't have to. It's not like we have to get a hotel or something for that game either.
No, we got to let our host know, though.
I'll tell my host the day I'm going. I've been told that home's always open.
Oh, whatever, dude.
All right. Pool's heated, baby.
Let's move on to some basketball real quick.
That makes sense. Yeah, we did have basketball between. I thought we were just ready to talk baseball. Are you ready to get it, Tim Corbin? You said laugh. I mean, they're not good.
No.
They are. It's kind of like Florida. They should be. They're just not.
Yeah. They're really good at – I'll mention it in a little bit. They're really good at home, on the road, not so much. But, yeah, I do want to talk about basketball for a second just because, I mean, it looks like with Ben Hammond not taking a visit here anymore, I mean, are we just not going to fill our roster? I mean, it looks like it's like Chaslin. We have three open spots, and Chaslin here is the last guy left, and everybody in the country wants him. Now, does Tennessee make the most sense? Probably, but, I mean, if you don't land him, you're going to be hurt. I hope all those walk-ons are ready to kind of play some minutes.
Yeah, I wonder what – if they try to add – I wonder if there's a guy that is thinking about reclassifying or something weird or a late ad or who knows. I don't
know. Yeah. I mean, there could be. I mean, Zakai was late. Tobey was late. But right now it's like I wrote down our roster from last year, like how they went in, what they were on the bench. And then I have like what we have now. I mean, we basically have enough to have like Tobey, Gainey, and Estrella minutes from this year. Like, we have that many people, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Cam Carr minutes. There's no Cade Phillips. There's no Freddie DeLeon. Like, there's nobody. Like, you're playing. If this is what you have, you don't land Chaz Lanier. It's guys that you're going to play basically the entire season, even in a blowout. You're going to have to play those guys.
Well, you mentioned the walk-ons, and then you got some freshmen. Or who are you counting that?
Oh, that's the one freshman you have coming in is Bishop Boswell.
Okay.
One of those.
Yeah.
So you have eight guys right now basically on scholarship. That's kind of scary. I mean, like, you're one injury away from being in a really tough spot.
Yeah. I mean, is it really just eight scholarships?
No, there's nine. There's nine. Okay. Felix. I forgot Felix. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well.
And I mean, if you land Chaz Lanier, I guess that helps. But, I mean, like, a lot of these guys are going to be one-year guys coming in.
Yeah.
So you're just basically
it's a roster flip. Yeah.
It's just like I feel like high school recruiting in basketball has taken a huge step back. Like football recruiting, you still have to recruit guys and develop those because you have so many that you have to play. but like in like special teams and stuff has a lot to do with that. But basketball just seems like it. The portal is where you're gonna do the majority of your like roster flip when like you need guys now.
Yeah, the basketball, the transfer portal has made things a lot more interesting because teams can be completely different year to year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a complete flip. So,
I mean, we were talking about the transfer portal with the football schedule. Like, I mean, looking at trying to predict who the best teams in the SEC are going to be in basketball, that seems impossible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. Well, some people have us in the Final Four, so that's good. We have that going for us.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't really have anything else. I just thought that was interesting.
Appreciate sharing that.
Don't really have a lot of depth there. But maybe that's just where we're at in college basketball. Who knows? All right, we were talking about making a trip to Nashville. The Baseballs are making a trip to Nashville this weekend as they take on the Commodores, the Cheating Boys, the Vandy Boys. I love
boys,
that. Like,
they're boys.
Yeah, I love that. Vanderbilt was a huge, like, I mean, that sticker on the back, they're like, yeah, Tennessee's been cheating, and like Vanderbilt's been caught cheating twice this year. Well, they've been caught once, but there's suspected to be the one that Jim Schlossnagel is talking about.
Oh, is it Vanderbilt they're
yeah
thinking that's about?
Because he was like, I mean, look at their
it did match up with theirs
on the road and at home. Yeah.
It was their batting average that he was saying look at.
Yeah.
It matched up. I knew they struggled in a few areas, win-loss, for instance. But I didn't realize. I didn't see anybody piece together who it might have been. So that's
I think
funny.
It could have been them or Mississippi State. It was one of those two.
I can't believe nothing's come out about that since he made that very public. And he acted like the SEC had kind of already done what they needed to do about it. Weird.
Well, strange. Yeah, this Vanderbilt team is – they struggle. I mean, number one, they're 26-6 at home. They're 3-10 on the road this year. They've lost 5 straight SEC games. They got swept by Georgia last weekend and got run-ruled twice.
I was about to say, in the ugliest fashion.
Yeah, I mean, they're not good. I mean, their highest batting average is .319.
Okay.
They have one guy batting over .300 in SEC play, and that's Jaden Davis. So, tough look. Yeah. I mean, that's just not a good lineup, and, you know, Devin Fetrell, who's been one of their better pitchers the last couple years, he's dealt with an injury, and he pitched in the midweek game, so I don't think you'll see him this weekend. He pitched 5 innings, I think. So it'll be Carter Holton and Bryce Cunningham, and then somebody else. I don't know exactly who it'll be, but, yeah, it's been a struggle for old Vandy.
Yeah, it couldn't happen to a better group of boys. I mean, there's no denying that this is – I mean, you mentioned they're just the fact they're better at home. There's no denying, like, this is not a walk-in series and win by any means. I don't foresee this Tennessee team, the way they're playing, dropping 2 to this Vanderbilt team. Because I think this is where you look at pitching – like them as a whole, I don't see how Tennessee isn't competent in one of them for 2 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't see Tennessee losing a 4-3 game on Saturday with Drew Beam pitching. I don't see that happening. I could be shocked. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that – I think Vanderbilt's going to be up for it. They've lost seven straight to Tennessee. I mean, Christian Moore, Blake Burke, Kavars Tears, they have never lost to Vanderbilt in their Tennessee career.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, just a wild kind of showing there. So I think they'll be up for it. I think that number one ranking probably helps that a little bit, but I don't know. This team looks like they're kind of on the ropes, and you know, I know if they're wanting to host a regional, they're going to have to make up some ground, and they have Tennessee and Kentucky left on their schedule, so not an easy like rest of the season there for them. Yeah, I'm sure Tim Corbin will try to do something, check somebody's bad at some point. But, yeah, I mean, this is not your same Vanderbilt team that you've seen in the past.
No, and Monty said our bats better show up. It's been down last 2 weeks. I mean, it's not been what you come to know and love and expect from Tennessee, but Tennessee scored 10 runs on Thursday against Missouri. They scored 16 runs on Sunday against Florida. I think there's still plenty of pop left in the bats. And then the nights that there hadn't been, the pitchers have got it done.
Yeah. Yeah, just going to be a series. And, like, Tony Vitello was saying, like, I don't know, they kind of downplay it. And I guess you have to in like a press conference is like what it means. And they even asked Christian Moore, they're like, hey, what's it like not losing to Vanderbilt? And he's like, oh, you know, we just want to take two. If it happens, cool. If not, you know, whatever. But deep down, Tony Vitello and the rest of this group wants to absolutely beat the crap out of Vanderbilt. And you should.
Yeah, but they have almost convinced me that they do just hate every team equally. And they hate every team a lot, and they hate them all equally.
Yeah.
They've almost convinced me of that.
I mean, they haven't – Vanderbilt hasn't beat Tennessee since 2021. April of 2021.
That's crazy. That's – never thought
– we were still wearing masks. Tennessee
baseball would see this day.
Yeah. We were still having masks in the stadium.
They really have masks in the stadium in 2021? Yeah. Yeah, I guess they would have, yeah. Because they didn't know that was the first series it was open for.
Yeah, it was still at like – it wasn't full capacity, but it was like half or three quarters.
I thought they opened it up – the Saturday Vanderbilt game was the first full capacity game.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think so.
In the front row, there was still, like, we showed the highlight. There were still, like, cardboard cutouts of people, like, in the front row right there. So,
I thought that was, like, the big deal was, let me see.
I think they opened it up a little more, but I know there's a lot of standing room only tickets that they sold. They were just trying to get people in there. Because I sat, like, behind the away team dugout when it was COVID because they had to spread everybody out.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Tennessee gets it done in the midweek that it was not easy. I don't know, man. I'm kind of with Monty. Like, I hope the bats show up. It seems like they're doing enough. And a lot of people were like, what's up with the pitching just a few weeks ago, but Tennessee's sitting fourth in the country in ERA. And I mean, I think the bats are going to be there. They just need to get some production from the bottom of the lineup. I think Ryan Shumpert tweeted out that Tennessee's DH in the last four SEC series are like 3-38. Not been great from whoever's in the DH spot. And I know that is a tough position to, you know, you don't really go in the field. You're just up there hitting. And so there is a lot of pressure to produce there. And you can't really make it up on defense. But Tennessee's going to have to find more production in the bottom of that lineup against, you know, quality SEC teams to, and they figured it out the last couple weeks, but you know, if they really want to meet their full potential, you know, the bottom of that lineup is going to have to do something. They need guys like Hunter Ensley to keep hitting the ball. Cal Stark at catcher, and then whoever they go with at DH, you know, no one's really taken that spot and ran with it so far.
Right. It's going to be a big, absolutely big weekend. It was Arkansas that we returned to full capacity at. I remember it being a big deal.
Yeah.
And that was the year they got into a kerfuffle after the game too.
Over a guy who, I think they almost beat. So Logan Chambers was, I think, the whole reason that kind of thing happened. But ended up going to Missouri State, and he had a bomb against Arkansas in a midweek game a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But Monty said, who knew Dalton Bargo was a catcher? Yeah, I mean, that's what we've heard, that he's a catcher, but we just saw him last night, and he, you know, Blake Burke's got to make sure he makes that tag, but he threw somebody out at first base on a back pick. So,
yeah.
Yeah, looked pretty good to me. I mean, and he came in, hit the ball, so – I don't know. I don't know what you do. I think Dalton Bargo probably in that midweek game has earned a spot in that DH role, especially with Tears back in the field. But yeah, they got to get some sort of production out of that position.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too many good bats with Reese Chapman, Peebles, Bargo and Colby back is, you know, one of those four have to figure it out.
Yeah, with the way this team hits, that would be a massive lift, especially towards the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any questions?
Who would be your most, or the best three? Let's go defensive back and defensive line in Tennessee history.
Jeez, what?
Well, these are just some we tweeted out this week, so I'll just
defensive line, I mean, it's Reggie White and gotta be Derek Barnett, right? I mean, I don't know if you could put two. I mean, they've got to be 1-2. Trying to think of an interior lineman I'd really want to go. I mean, he was good. I don't know if he's best all time by any means, top three, just for the name alone, Jesse Mahalona.
Okay.
Who else don't want to go there? What are your three?
I mean, I think at Reggie White, Derek Barnett, I mean, Doug Atkins, I guess, but maybe John Henderson. I think you can go with any of those three is probably.
John Henderson's a good one. Albert Hainsworth might be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least in recent history, I'd say if you go all the way back, which I think Doug Atkins stats are stupid. I think they're like Reggie White stupid.
Yeah. You, it's kind of hard to get your jersey retired, and he was able to do that.
Right. I mean, number one defensive back is Eric Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Grant.
Yeah, Deion Grant. Dale Carter.
I was about to say Dale Carter is probably my next one.
Mm-hmm. I think recently, I mean, Cam Sutton was a really good one.
Yeah.
I like the Jason Allen. He was a good one.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he was a first round pick as well.
Yeah. Where, I think, where did he go in the draft? Is it the Patriots? Bengals?
Maybe. Play
for the Patriots?
I don't know. Jonathan Heffney was pretty good. He's not up there, but
he's selected by the Dolphins.
Okay.
He did play for the Bengals. I only remember I'm being unfair to Heffney, so I do apologize, but I only remember some mistakes in the return game on his end, so I know that's unfair to him. But I do, so I can't remember if it was him or someone else that's like caught a ball that was going out of bounds on a kickoff, and we had to take over like the 2-yard line. For some reason, I feel like I remember it being Hefty. That may be wrong.
That might be me.
Oh, it's a very vague memory from childhood. But I have it. It stuck with me. Whoever did it, that was a bad memory that stuck with me. That's a trauma-inducing incident.
What about D-line?
Reggie and Derek for sure.
Ooh, Inky Johnson would have been a good one too. He could have finished out his career, but
three's probably interchangeable. But I feel like the first two are pretty obvious. Go John Henderson, why not? Actually, let's just go real old and throw it back. Doug Atkins, let's go.
Yeah. I like those.
Let's go with all the old. I know what all the old folks are going to say, and I'll agree with them. Actually, I don't think those folks are tweeting that would say that, but we'll go with it.
What about a wide receiver? Do you have any for those?
Top. It's such bias to get. I mean, just the Sports Illustrated picture alone, Pelus Price.
Yeah.
Joey Kent. Joey Kent. It's a good one. Robert Meacham was a really good one.
Yeah.
Marcus Nash. Didn't
he come back and try to like do a pro day? Like, I mean, not too long ago, I feel like.
Did he really? I think I do remember that. I think I do have a vague memory of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any others I want to put up there? Oh, Cordell Patterson. I forgot him. I know he's only here for 1 year, so it's hard to really put it up there, but it's hard to not say his name when you talk about wide receivers at Tennessee.
Yeah. Carl Pickens. Carl Pickens.
Good one. Dante Stallworth. Willie Gault.
Yeah.
You said Carl Pickens.
I mean, it was one season, but Jalin Hyatt for the season.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Larry Sievers.
Mm-hmm. Alvin Harper. A good one.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know like what his stats look, but I just remember as a kid just loving Kelly Washington.
Yeah. I don't know what his stats were either. I don't think they were not good, but it's one of those he's probably not in the, top 10 or anything, but
yeah.
I don't think he was a slouch either.
Yeah, Justin Hunter was another really good one. Here in that offense,
I'm legitimately one of the best, and won't you know, be remembered for anything good was Derek Rogers. That dude was so good.
Yeah.
He was better than Justin Hunter and just wide receiver, not talking about just like football in general. He was better than Cordell Patterson at wide receiver.
Is that the three best? Like when you look at your, like just being on a team, that might be your three best of all time or close.
They didn't all three play together.
Oh, they didn't?
Derek got kicked off before.
Okay.
So he got kicked off the year before. He was playing at Tennessee Tech that year. The year before. He was playing at Tennessee Tech that year.
Okay.
Unless I'm misremembering, but I don't think they played together.
So is Patterson only here for 1 year?
Yeah. One semester.
Okay. So he played with Justin Hunter then?
Yes.
Okay. So it could have been the best of all time.
That would have been a nasty, nasty wide receiver core.
I mean, it already was. Like that offense was fun to watch. Now the defense couldn't stop anything, but
I mean, that was, I mean, you want to talk about good white wide receivers. That was Zach Rogers too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was.
And I mean, he had at least one, maybe two touchdowns against NC State, who was supposed to be, who did they have a DB that year? Oh my gosh.
I forgot really about Jason Swain.
I love Swain, but are we putting him in that? I love Swain.
We're just naming like really
good wide receivers. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just naming good wide receivers.
Juwan Jennings.
Jalen Hurd. No? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking to make sure I'm not misremembering, but I'm pretty sure. And then it was the year before that Justin Hunter pretty much broke his leg at Florida.
Yeah.
So he played the whole year in 2011. Or 2012. It's 2011 at Florida. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong roster. I get my years confused often, too often. I'm trying to think of some other good names from that 2022 or 2012 roster. Oh, Pick Howard was on the 2012 roster.
Hmm.
With Cordero.
Was Rivera on there? Michael Rivera? Is he the tight end?
He was a tight end, yes. He was the tight end in 11. For sure. I think he was on. Yeah, I mean, he was very good. He had, one good, like, pretty good year in the NFL for the Raiders?
Yeah.
Can't think of anybody. Anybody else, though? He's not in top 10, but we've talked about how underrated he was as a DB, and his name popped up on the 2012 roster, Brian Randolph.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, not a knock on him. There's just been some really good DBs at Tennessee. In fact, no knock on him. I thought he was worth mentioning.
All right. Let's, before we get to stupidity, guys, go check out our good friends at Roback, roback.com. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase. The best quality clothing you can buy. Polos, Q-zips, hoodies, t-shirts, pants, shorts, joggers, whatever you need, they got it. Go check them out at roback.com. Again, use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase.
Dude, you know who else is on that 2012 roster as I scroll through it?
Who?
Our boy, Isaac Mobley. Shout out to Cool Beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a sophomore that year.
That's funny. My man. I wonder if he's still at KUB.
I wonder if he's still at Cool Beans. That's what I want to know.
In no way he's still at Cool Beans. He might, actually. I don't
know. He seemed to love and hate the job, so you never know.
Yeah.
No one at Cool Beans looks like they love their job, but they all like it. So
that's true.
I think. I guess I don't know.
My first stupidity is the announcer on the MLB Network. He, before the Dodgers and Marlins game, he said, it's Yamamoto, whatever. He's like their big like pitcher now that they got with Otani from Japan. Yeah. And he said, guys, before this game, I'm just going to go ahead and say he's on a no-hitter alert. And then his very first pitch, Jazz Chisholm takes him yard.
How do you say that before a game? I mean, I guess they haven't been hit on today, so I guess they kind of are. But that's a wild.
Well, they have thrown like 15 consecutive scoreless innings. So
okay, still feel like that's
Marlins aren't good. But I just thought it was. I mean, you can't draw it up any better than that.
No, I'm shocked. That's pretty low profile for dude. Some of these MLB guys on whatever networks, Bali or whatever they're on, dude, they're unhinged. Stuff that gets talked about.
They're bad. You know who else is bad now that we're saying this? Whoever announces the baseball games in the midweek, it's horrible. You know, I know that's probably not an easy job, but my God. I mean, like, these people don't even know anything about baseball. And they give the most, like, idiotic, like, play-by-play. It's like, as a pitcher, you really don't want to walk somebody here. No shit. You don't want to walk anybody anytime.
That's a good point. That's good job. I feel like there's stuff in that. That it's where God, like, people feel like they have to talk during lead up to a play or something, whether any sport, football, it's you really don't want to turn the ball over right here. You think? Okay. Which that reminds me, did you see, it was a baseball call. What call was it? Who was it? I tweeted about it. But it's a great call. I'll let you listen to it, assuming it's still there. Just need to see what game it was. So it was the Mariners hit a home run against the Braves.
Tug of the cap now straightens. Garver steadies the bat. 3-2 to the plate. And that's hit way up in the air in the deep left field. Over towards the bleachers, and it's out of the ballpark. It was 1-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. It was scoreless most of the night.
It's an excellent call.
I mean, just dead silence.
Well, I mean, you can hear the crowd.
Yeah.
But I don't need to hear it was the Braves radio guy. I don't need to hear him complaining about it. Yeah, he's probably upset. He told me what happened. It's not like he just said, you know, balls hit deep to left field and then dropped it there and got angry and threw his headset. You let the crowd speak sometimes, man. Let the crowd tell the story for you. I also love baseball. I do want to note this. It's the only sport you listen to where they'll describe what, like, you've never heard anyone that'll be like Peyton Manning set to take the snap, he adjusts his helmet. Yeah. I love that baseball. They're like, he's described, they're like, and he just grabbed his jock, and here comes the pitch now.
Yeah, you just picked the wedgie out and the pitch.
1-2 pitch on the way. Yeah, it's actually
that'd be illegal.
No,
if you hit your butt and then throw the ball with that same hand, I mean, that's a foreign substance.
Come on, dude. They've touched way worse. I've seen some of these pre-pitch routines. It was just sunscreen, okay?
Did you see where this doesn't have to be a stupidity, but did you see where a former Major League Baseball player, Monty Harrison, is committed to Arkansas football? And he was a four-star recruit. Yeah,
that's the 30-year-old I was talking about. He's like 28 or 29 years old.
Yeah, how in the world does he still have eligibility?
I guess he never played football, so he's good. Like Matt Sims or Red Rifle. What's his name? I can't think of it for some reason. Went to Texas Tech. Real old. God. Why am I blanking on that dude's name?
Brandon Whedon.
I want to say Breeden for some reason. Whedon. Combined as both his names. Yeah, no, he was old too. I think he was like 25 when he started playing.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I made the 30-year-old joke about Arkansas. I don't think it's stupidity, but weird. Sure. I don't know. It's stupid. We'll go stupidity. I think it's stupid because, like, what's he really going to bring to your team?
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm thinking. It's also like, I thought there was some rule about, like,
your clock starting.
Yeah.
I thought there was too, but there always seems to be a workaround around it, I guess. I don't get it at all. So don't ask me.
Whatever. Good for him. We'll see you in Arkansas, bud.
I mean, he'll probably be at the bars Friday night, I'd imagine. So we may. All right. I don't have anything else, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't either. The only thing I had was Jesse Simonton, the top 10 wide receiver units.
It's crazy.
Colorado? I mean, if you don't want to put Tennessee in it, I don't care, but how the hell is Colorado in it?
I think that's the burning question and all that, yes.
Whatever. Get your clicks, bud. All right. That's all I got.
I appreciate it. Been fun. Have a good time tomorrow night.
Appreciate it. I'll let you know how it is. I'll send you some vids.
Go for it.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank y'all for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back on Sunday, and we're bringing the boat in, and we out.